condemn the world. Amen. That word condemn means to judge, y'all. It means to pass sentence. It means to make guilty. And so when the Bible says that Noah condemned the world, in some kind of way, Noah made the world guilty. Noah, amen, passed a sentence on the world. And there's two ways as we look at the totality of Scripture that Noah condemned the world. He condemned the world by his actions and by his words. His actions and his words. When we say his actions, we're talking about the way he lived. We're talking about his example. When we say his word, we're talking about, amen, his speech, amen, his sermons, his preaching, amen, what Noah said to people. But those are the two ways that Noah condemned the world that he was living in, which was so dark. I think tonight we're going to only have time to talk about the first way that Noah condemned the world. Noah condemned the world, amen, by his actions. By his actions. What we need to understand is that in 1 Peter 3:20, amen, God tells us, amen, that God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. This means, Brian, that God was ready to destroy the world. He was ready. The cup was full. Wickedness was great. The cries of the innocent went up to him. And God was ready. He was locked and loaded. But God wouldn't destroy the earth until the ark was prepared. He waited. And this is a great theological thing that God is showing us here. It shows us that God never destroys the righteous with the wicked. He never does. He never does. He always allows the righteous, amen, time and provides a way for the righteous to escape. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited up in here. Amen. He never destroys the good with the bad, the righteous with the wicked. He never does that. And he always waits. As we turn back in our minds, amen, to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, God waited, y'all. He waited till Lot and his family got out of there. The angels held up judgment. There was, if you could go back and read, you could feel the urgency of them pushing Lot out of here. Lot, go, you and your family, and don't even look back. You see, God always waits. He always waits, all right? There's some in here God is waiting on. God is waiting on. I believe that judgment is coming in our day. And God is just waiting till all the elect are saved, till all those chosen before the foundation of the world, amen, till they saved. God is just waiting. And we know it. He says it's till the fullness of the Gentiles be saved. Anybody hear me up in here? And he's waiting even amongst the Hebrews, amen. And that's God is he's just counting them off, amen. And it's going to be interesting when the last one come to the altar, judgment going to hit. Amen. Amen. So God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Well, Pastor, how long did it take the ark to prepare? Scholars tell us 120 years. 120 years Noah took to build this ark. You see? 120 years. So for 120 years, the people of the world saw Noah preparing this ship, this giant box that would fit, amen, two of every kind of animal and bird, you see? And they watching this, and Noah's just building this. He didn't build it for a week, Al. He didn't build it for a month, James. He didn't build it, amen, for a year, Brandon. He built it for 120 years. So every time they passed that way, amen, some child was asking, Daddy, what's that? That's crazy old Noah building this ship. What's he building it for? Noah said it's going to flood. Daddy, what's a flood? Well, he says some water going to come from the sky. We've never seen that before. You see? 120 years building, preparing for the judgment of God. Watch this. Here it is. His actions of building the ark, of trusting God, of believing God, of living for God in those dark days for 120 years, those actions condemn the world. Those actions pass sentence on the world. Those actions made the world guilty. And if you don't know by now, our God loves to operate when men have no excuse. Are you hearing me up in here? You see, when God judged, the Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. You know when somebody tell you off good and you ain't got nothing to say? When they read you, that's what God's going to do on judgment day. And the reason God is going to be able to do that is because people will have no excuse, Keith. No excuse. In Noah's day, hallelujah, they had no excuse because 120 years, Noah, by his actions, and we're going to get to it, and his speech, his words, amen, kept telling the people, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. 120 years, judgment is coming. Not only did he live it, but he spoke it. Judgment is coming. You see? So when the waters came, y'all, it was nothing people could say. You see? Without excuse. Noah condemned the world. You see what happens when you live for God? When you do what God says in a dark time? It causes the wickedness of the wicked to appear even more wicked. Oh, did you catch that right there? When you do what God says in a dark time, it makes the wickedness of the wicked appear even more wicked. To who? Well, to themselves. But also to others. You see? And that's just how it is. You see, when light shines, that's when you know it's dark. There wouldn't be darkness if there was no light. See, people don't know that they're living wrong until they see somebody living right. Oh, God, mercy. Oh, God. He condemned the world by the way he lived. By the way he lived, by the way he trusted God, by the way he believed God, by the way he worked for God. When everybody else, the whole world, was running ratchet, Noah was an example of how to live. And his actions, it condemned the world. You see? See, believers, what we need to understand again is that we light, y'all. We light. Strategically placed in a dark world. We so strategically place, amen, that God places us around, amen, the face of the earth. He places us strategically so that there are really no totally dark spots on the earth. Can you see it? Little lights everywhere. That's believers. Because in every place, God wants to show the world, this is how it looks to serve me. Woo! So there always going to be somebody around you. Somebody growing up, somebody at the job, somebody at the school, somebody that loves God. Maybe it's a mama, it's a daddy, it's an aunt, it's an uncle, it's the neighbor down the street, it's the crazy pastor that come through the projects. Amen. But God is going, he will not leave himself without a witness, the Bible says. He's always going to have somebody out there to show you that there is an alternative to living in the darkness. Oh, God, have mercy. Pastor, why does he need to do that? Because we're born in the dark. We're born in sin. We're born ratchet. We're born stealing. We're born lying. We're born manipulate. And if you're born in something, you're going to think that it's the only way. Ooh, anybody hear me up in here? They got people born in darkness, man, in dungeons. And when they see the sun, they don't even know how to understand that. Can't comprehend that. That's us, man, when we're born in sin. Born in the hood. Born in the projects. All we know is robbing, jacking, shooting, killing. Nope. Sexual morality is all we know. And we think it's right. Yeah. Until we see somebody really do it right with the Holy Ghost, with the light of Christ. Yeah. Our job is that job. When you get saved, amen, you are now employed by the royal kingdom of the Most High God. And your employment is to, a part of it is to be light in this dark world. The same way somebody showed you an alternative, the same way somebody showed you a different way of living, you are supposed to be different too. Somehow the church forgets that. And we get caught up with the world. We start living like the world, talking like the world, walking like the world, cursing like the world, running women like the world, running men like the world. We done forgot, amen, our calling. Our calling is to be light. Our calling is to be the alternative. Our calling is to be that different friend, that different boss, that different classmate, that different. When there's something about you, you're different. Yeah, you're still cool, but you're different. Yeah, you got your hair done nice, but you're different. Yeah, your nails done good, but you're different. But there's something about, I can't put my finger on it, but you're different. Not in a superficial way. Not in long skirts and long sleeves and turtlenecks when it's 90 degrees outside. That's a superficial difference. But we're talking about a difference in soul. We're talking about a difference in spirit. We're talking about a difference in the way we live. And it's not just a title. It's not just about I'm a Christian. It's not just I got the right shirt on or it's on my bumper sticker. Or it's not just about being a member somewhere. But when they meet you, your life is different. He says in Matthew 5:14, talking to believers, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Because you light, he going to put you places, Kenneth, where you could be seen. He said, I'm going to put you on a hill. You're a city. Reason why I'm going to put you up is because I want everybody to see. And we got believers here used to low living. Used to low living. When you understand you were a believer, you was not made to live low. You was made to live high. You was made to be lifted up with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the most people can see you. And if they see you, they're going to see his light. He said, neither do men light candles and put it under a bushel. God ain't put no candle under no bucket. He said, but he put a candle on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that's in the house. Got a lot of people, lost people in your house. And he wants you to let your light shine in your house. Your brothers and sisters should see something different about you. You see, that's how Noah condemned the world. He was so different. He was following God. And their wickedness seemed more wicked on the side of Noah. You see? You see? In 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to me good. When we let our light shine, something happens to people. And there's two things that happen to them. I'm going to cover both of them. Amen. Number one, people get saved when we live like Christ. You got a certain group of the population that's drawn to the light. When they see you be different, you're not cursing, you're not wanting to fight everybody, you're not just grudging. And I'm going to cover a few things on how it looks to let your light shine so we can have some practical examples. Amen. But when you're living different, you're going to have a certain group of people that's drawn to you. They're going to love the way you love and love the way you walk in peace. They're going to love the joy that you exude. They're going to love your optimism, amen, and how God through you always got a word in due season and just speaking life, amen. They're going to love that, so they're going to be drawn to you. And when they see your good works, the Bible says, eventually they're going to begin to do what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. And to me, that means they're going to wind up getting saved, coming to church, amen, and ultimately praising him themselves, amen. They're going to go from darkness to light because you was willing to live for God. Oh, my God, have mercy. You see, the directive was given to Noah, amen, but Noah didn't go in the boat alone. Did you catch that right there? Noah got his sons in the boat with him. He got his daughters-in-laws in the boat with him. What does that mean? He let his light shine, and there was a group that came with him. That's going to be the first reaction, y'all. If you just let your light shine, souls going to be saved. You ain't got to even say nothing. You just got to live it. And as I get older, amen, this is the most powerful evangelism tool there is. Because anybody can talk it, yeah. But not too many can walk it. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's what you got to do. Now, let's talk about this light shining for a second. I'm going to go into Galatians right here. I'm going to look at Galatians 5. And I'm going to talk with you about letting your light shine. You see, because to me, letting your light shine is understanding what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. You see, as a believer, amen, you are a trichotomous being. Amen. That means you're made up of three parts. Amen. Amen. Your spirit, soul, and flesh. Okay? All right? As a believer, amen, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You got your soul, which that soul part is you. It's in the middle of the spirit and the flesh. So you got the spirit, the soul, and the flesh. The funny thing about it is that the flesh and the spirit fight for control over your soul. Are you catching that for a second? When you wake up in the morning, amen, it's either going to be one in control or the other in control. It's not going to be both of them. Meaning you're going to either walk in the spirit or you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that choice is yours. When you're not saved, you don't have a choice. You're carnal. You understand what I'm saying? You're doing you. Amen. You're doing the world. Amen. You're trying to feel good. You're trying to look good. Amen. You're trying to sound good. Amen. You all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all you can do because you're spiritually dead and you don't have the Holy Ghost yet. But when you get saved, amen, something comes between the soul and the flesh, amen, or something comes on the other side of the soul and the flesh, and that's the Spirit. And when the Spirit, fill you, regenerate you, amen, now you got a second opinion. Amen. Oh, go be with these women. The Spirit said, boy, you better slow down. You understand what I'm saying? Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Spirit going to pull you another direction. To me, letting your light shine is walking in the Spirit. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? We got a lot of Christians that's living in the flesh. Just straight up flesh. Just straight up flesh. And the reason is because, amen, hallelujah, this world, amen, has really, really, really done a number on the church. Amen. You see, in this life, and I'm just going prophetically, you can either feed the spirit or feed the flesh. Are you with me here so far? 9 times out of 10, the church, amen, is at a buffet of the flesh instead of feeding the spirit. All we do is watch TV. All we do is stay on Facebook. All we do is text friends. All we do is look at things on TV. Amen. And most of the stuff we're looking at is not flesh mortifying, but flesh building. Nothing but jealousy, gossip, sexual sin. Well, the flesh is eating that stuff. And here you are after feeding the flesh a buffet and malnourishing the spirit, you won't try to walk in the spirit. Baby, you got a 450-pound flesh animal pulling at your soul on this side, and your spirit probably weigh 105 soaking wet. There's no way it can win. That's why most of the church is fleshly. And I'm going to go through what it means to be in the flesh and what it means to walk in the spirit just quickly. You see what I'm saying? But they ask, amen, hallelujah, an Alaskan Eskimo, they say he had two dogs, a white one and a black one. And he'd go into the city all the time and he'd fight them. And everybody would bet on the dogs. And they say, how you always win? How you always know which dog gonna win? He say, simple. Whichever dog I feed gonna win. The other one malnourished. The other one skin and bones. So when I feed the white one, he win. I put all my money on him and I take all your money. When I don't feed the white one, I feed the black one. Put all my money on him and I take all your money. So as we look at your life, who you going to put your money on? The flesh or the spirit? Because it's simple. You see? Now let's look at it here. In Galatians 5:16, he says, this I say, then walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pastor, what's the lust of the flesh? Look at it. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is what your flesh want to do. Adultery. Want to sleep with somebody else's wife? Want to sleep with a girl that's not your wife? Want to sleep with a man that's not your husband? That's what the flesh want to do. The spirit ain't never wanted to do that. If you messing with another person's spouse, that ain't a Holy Ghost. You're not being led by God. Well, that's my husband. God told me that's not my husband. Yeah, it might be, but not right now. He married. You understand what I'm saying? He married. That's not your husband. Stay away from him. You in the flesh. Fornication. Sleeping around and you're not married. That's the flesh. That's not the spirit. It really not. Lasciviousness, which is another form of dirty sexual morality, which would include, amen, looking at dirty things on TV. You see? That's the flesh. Idolatry, paganism, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is like contentions. And I'm going to go through emulations, wanting to be somebody, live their life instead of living your life and your calling and your journey. Amen. You won't be like this one instead of wanting to be what God made you to be. Wrath, always losing your temper, wanting to bump, wanting to fight, punch holes in the wall, want to fight your wife, fight your husband. That's not the spirit. Strife, beef, seditions, factions, cliques, heresies, false doctrines, envyings. There's more than jealousy. You not only want what they have, but you don't want them to have it. That's the flesh, dog. Anytime your attitude change when you see somebody got something you don't have, you in the flesh. Oh, God, I'm going to just take my time. I'm just reading it right now. Then I'm going to go back on it. Murders, killing folk, wanting to kill folk. Like them Negroes on the street, when they fight, they don't just want to win. They want to kill somebody. That's of the flesh, dog. Drunkenness, revelings, that's of the flesh. What's a reveling, Pastor? It's when you're partying for no reason. You ain't got no reason to be at the club. You ain't got no reason. That ain't got God. That you ain't celebrating nothing God did. Nothing God. You ain't celebrating God at all. That's a revel. That's of the flesh. And we know it. He says, such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the problem, church, with you living in the flesh all the time, you can't really tell if you're saved or not. Because the saved don't operate in the flesh. The saved walk in the spirit, man. And this is the day we're living in. Where it's hard to tell who the real believers and who the fake believers are. It's because the flesh, man. Now, we're talking about letting your light shine. As we begin just talking about in Galatians 5 and 19, look, sexual morality, amen, is not letting your light shine. If you're messing with somebody else's spouse, you are not letting your light shine. You're not condemning the world. Amen. You're condemning Christ. You're not showing the world, amen, the way to go. You're showing them how not to go. So when we got leaders of the church, preachers, pastors, priests, amen, committing sexual morality, whether it's homosexuality, adultery, messing with people, why, or messing with little kids, amen, that's not what Jesus is talking about in Matthew when he says, let our light shine. It's just not what he's talking about. Now, as we go through these things, listen to me. You're going to feel convicted about one or two of them. See, because all of our flesh is different. There's some things your flesh going to pull you to do that mine won't pull me to do. So as I talk about sexual morality, some of y'all, y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all don't need it. Most of the time, y'all don't even want it anyway. I'm just saying, that's just not your thing. But they got some as their thing. And it's a challenge for some. And God is saying, listen, press. Fight the good fight. Stay holy. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your husband. If you're single, don't touch him. Bring a chaperone. Why? Because I need you to let your light shine. I need you to be different. Everybody's sleeping with everybody else. But if you could just be different, I can do something in the world. I can show the world an alternative. I can show them that every pastor not like that, every priest not like that, every minister not like that, every deacon not like that. I'll show them an alternative and I can save somebody. He's looking for a Noah to convict and condemn the world. But not only that, the idolatry, to praying to all kind of things that's not God. What is praying to them statues we come up from? That's what the Bible talking about here. Or even going as deep as the paganism when you're out there trick-or-treating, celebrating something you don't know nothing about. That it come from these Greek mythological figures, amen, that God detests back in the Bible days. You see, to be different means to turn our lights off, to stay in the house, tell our kids we ain't going out there with these food over some candy. You want some candy, let's go to Family Dollar, get a box of candy. We ain't going to give it to nobody. We're going to eat it all if we want to do it. Let's be different. Let your light shine. Your light is not shining if you're doing what they're doing. Witchcraft, voodoo, hoodoo, tarot cards, Ouija board, astrology, spells, psychics, witches, wizards, horoscopes. That's not letting your light shine. We used to all do, what's your sign? Ooh, girl, I'm a Libra. I'm this and that. You see, our people perish for a lack of knowledge. We don't know what we're doing. We're just doing it because everybody else doing it. But we don't know our Bible well enough to know that this offends a holy God. He said, shall not a people seek unto their God if they want to know the future? If you want to know tomorrow? If you want to know your calling? If you want to know your purpose? Sister White ain't going to help you, baby. Sister Black ain't going to help you, baby. Cleo don't know. Listen, God. Oh, God. It might be the fringes. It might be the fringes. Listen to me. That's not letting your light shine, playing with all of that. You're doing like the heathens, like the Gentiles. This word is especially for our Hebrew people. Because in these last days, we're going to have to be different. We're going to have to show forth the praises of the one who had called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, come on. Let me work with you for a second. Listen here. Look at the hatred. All that beef with people that we have, them grudges, that unforgiveness, that burning feeling that we see when we see them, that hatred, man, that's not letting your light shine, man. Listen, man, I try to live my life not hating anybody, man. And when people do me wrong, amen, I try to release them as fast as I'm offended. I love when people do me wrong, I like to pitch a water off a duck's back. You understand what I'm saying? Like it go all the way down and they shake them off on the tail feather. And that's what you got to do when they do you wrong. Just shake them off on the tail feather. They ain't going to know what you're doing. You just shake them off on the tail feather. You understand what I'm getting at here? Because hatred is in the flesh. And if I'm feeling some way about somebody, it's bringing my spirit to a place that I don't want to be because I want to walk in the spirit. So I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't feel no way about none of y'all. I'm telling y'all, ask my wife, I sleep good at night. Oh yeah. It take a lot to get a grudge from me, yeah. Oh yeah. And by the time I get it, I'm going to deal with it in such a fashion where we ain't going to have it no more. But that's not how I'm trying to live. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says, much is lied in you, be at peace with all men. And that's the way I try to live. Now, if peace can't happen, I'm going to do you like Abram did Lot. Pick which way you want to go, dog. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not about to be worried about you. Am I sharing too much of how I'm living? I need to be in the spirit. I need to hear God. And I'm jealous of him. If I ever get in a situation when I can't hear him, man, I go straight Negro. I'm like, I can't hear him? I can't hear him because of who? Because of what? No. I have to be able to hear him, Kimmy. I have to. If I can't hear him, I have no direction. I'm lost without him. So that hatred, man, and so if you got beef with people, man, that's not letting your light shine. Letting your light shine is when the world see people do you wrong, and you just, how you do that? Shake your tail. I'm going to open up a dance, I'll be, shake your tail. Don't shake it. You're getting a little older, you're getting heavy. All right, listen. Tell me, Chantel. Tell me. Listen, tell me first name. Listen. So, man, you be different, man. Be different, man. Be different. You see, anybody can love those that love them. But Jesus said, love them that hate you and despitefully use you. You see, if you handle offense right, God gonna bless you from it. He gonna lift you up from it. If you just, oh God, I get excited when people do me wrong sometimes. I be like, oh God, I'm about to give me a blessing. Because after they do me wrong, I'm about to feed them, I'm about to clothe them, I'm about to do this, I'm about to heap coals of fire on their head. I'm about to, you understand what I'm saying? Because when I do right to my enemies, listen, I show that I'm a child of God. Because my Father makes his sun to rise on the just and his unjust, his rain to fall on the wicked and the good. Listen, you got to be different, man. You got to be different, man. Let them talk. Let them hate. That variance, that contention, always fussing, always fighting. Some of y'all live a life of y'all go from argument to argument. You got to be fussing with somebody. You got to be adverse with some. It's just contentious. Oh, it's raining outside. Oh, it don't look like it's raining from here. Man, be quiet, man. Ooh, that's a nice car. Yeah, but it don't run too good. Who asked you, man? Why every time somebody says something, you got to say the opposite? That's the flesh, man. You in the flesh. That's why nobody want to be around you, man. You're draining. Let's keep moving. Emulation, wrath. You see Christians losing their temper like that? Nah, man. Nah, it's the flesh, man. That's the flesh. All that losing your temper on your kids, on your wife, on your husband. That's the flesh, though. And I don't care how spiritual you play. If you're still putting your hands on somebody, you a baby in the Lord. You see, because if you can't control yourself, how in the world are you going to be effective in leading God's people? Listen. The Bible say a man with no self-control is like a city without walls. Meaning that anytime the devil wants anything to come on inside of your life and tear you up, get you out of place, he can send it. God want to use you over here to preach, to witness, to minister. It won't work. All he got to do is send somebody to burn you up. Sermon over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's that rage, that's that wrath. Nah, we don't get that mad, man. See, when people see something happen in your life that's supposed to burn you up, you lose some money. What's money anyway? You lose some money. And they looking at you like, boy, I would be so mad. I would. Why? Why? Is being mad gonna bring the money back? Like, I'm going to get so mad and somehow God going to bless me again. God going to say, all right, you done hit the mad mark. Let me give you that $1,000 back. Nah, man. Mad for what? Somebody say it's just money. The money is not enough to ruin your witness. It's not enough to ruin your witness. You're trying to save souls. Ooh, God. Have you ever conceived and had the thought that maybe God is allowing you to take this loss so he could show somebody how to really live this thing? And if they watch you handle this right, they're going to say, man, what church you go to? Because wherever you go, I got to go because I know me. I cuts up in pot pies if they don't put a fry in my bag. It's just money. Somebody say, let your light shine. Noah condemned the world by letting it shine. You see? This is how to condemn the wicked world, by letting your light shine. Staying away from the works of the flesh, because everybody is going that way. Everybody is doing it. But if you could walk a different way. You see, nobody see people that's in the crowd. True believers, we walk a different way than the crowd. It's the way they see us. Listen, in all the courtrooms that I practice in, all the judges that I know, all the district attorneys that I was with, amen, they had a lot of ratchet things going on. But I always got their attention because the things that I could have been doing with the power that I had, I never did. And I never did it because it didn't honor my God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not operating like that. I ain't taking no money under the table. I ain't trying to holler. No. So they look at me. It get attention. It get promotion. It get blessed. Oh, man. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Listen, man. Let your light shine. Murder. We ain't got to talk about that. Let's talk about drunkenness. Y'all heard that thing? That thing went doom doom. Like I hit something good. Well, let's talk about it. Listen, getting drunk is the flesh, though. You're not letting your light shine. When you're amongst your friends and you're a believer and you go with that urge, with that peer pressure to drink, you're not letting your light shine. You don't miss an opportunity to win somebody to Christ because you're doing what they do. They're looking for an alternative. But you see, drunkenness is such a old thing these days. Now they popping pills. So I got to talk about popping pills. I got to talk about Molly's. I got to talk about, you know what I'm saying, Xanax. I got to talk about all of that, all the prescription medication, the opioids. I got to talk about all that because we got a church, amen, that's addicted to pain medication sometimes as well. You need to know when you're full of a substance, you're not full of the spirit, you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh. What the world needs is a people that's not high. What the world needs is a people that's not drunk. What the world needs is a sober people who, when they have a problem, don't go to the bottle, don't go to the blunt, don't go to the joint, don't go to the prescription pills, but go to their God. You see what I'm saying? Because all those things, the problem is still there. You see, when you do that and you show the world something different, they're going to come running to you. They're going to call you because the ones that's drinking with them, they don't know the answer. The ones that's popping pills, they don't know the answer. But if you can get through life without escaping, if you can get through life without, amen, using these crutches of substance abuse, the world gonna know you got something real. Oh, God, come on, somebody. You gotta let your light shine, reveling. When you go into parties and clubs, festivals like that, with alcohol, world of music, where God is not exalted, listen, that's not letting your light shine. My greatest, amen, witness started when I refrained to do what my college buddies was doing. I said, man, I ain't going out there no more, man. See, when you take a stand like that, you know what they say? They say, oh, it's real. Yeah. Until you take a stand, they ain't gonna ever think it's real. When you take a stand, they know it's real. Then they're going to say, okay, that's what I've been waiting on. What time is church? Ooh! Spirit say, keep going. But wait. I'm going to just keep going for a second. Y'all all right? Yeah. Y'all kind of quiet. I don't know if it's because, you know, it's just a bit of a hard word or if y'all sleeping. Y'all up? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And listen. Every list has got something for somebody yet. It's got something for somebody. I hope I hit everybody up in here. All right, here we go. Now, when you let your light shine, it's going to save some folk. But that's just half the story, though. See, to be honest with you, when you let your light shine, not everybody going to be happy. When you try to live for God and take a stand, with your own body, with your own life. You just don't want to drink. You just don't want God to club. You just don't want to commit sexual immorality. Other people gonna get mad at you for what you do in your body. Be burnt at you, Tyrone. Be mad. Like, what you mad for? I'm trying to do something for me. Now, when I was locked up, you was happy with me. Now I'm in church, you mad. So you would rather me at the LPCC than PCC, Philadelphia Christian Church. It's just one letter different. You just have to have that L on there, and then you're going to be happy. But it's something spiritual. You see, when you get your life right, it burns people up. It burns them up because when you get it right, it shows them how wrong their life is. You see? You see, dirty shoes look all right when they're around other dirty old shoes. But you go to the store and buy yourself a brand new pair of Nike, and you try them on in the store, and you look at them old shoes you took off. You tell that the store clerk, I'm going to keep them on. I'm going to walk out of here with that because I can't believe that's what I was wearing. When you get saved and get your life right, you look like a brand new pair of shoes. And you come on the side of them, and they still living ratchet, walking through the mud, living in everything. They look like the old pair of shoes. And instead of just get themselves a brand new pair of shoes from Jesus for absolutely free, they want to get mad at you for being clean instead of getting clean themselves. Oh, yeah. Are you with me here? Some people are going to be mad at you. Look at John 3:19. Come on, just stick with me for a second. 3:19. It says, and this is the condemnation. Remember Noah condemned the world? Noah condemned the world. Remember that? And this is the condemnation. What is it, Pastor? How do you make them feel guilty? Light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, when you show the world the light, you show them a choice. You show them a choice. You show them that they don't have to live like they're living, but there is another way. They get mad at you because they see the light. They understand the light, but they get mad because they don't really want the light. They get mad because they love darkness rather than light. You see? And that's going to be the response of some people. In 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16, I'm saying this to get you ready. In the NLT, it says it fine. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and those who are perishing. See, the children of God, when they see you living right, they get happy about it. They want to be by you. They want to call you. They want to fellowship with you. They want to know what you know to get right. You make them hungry and you make them thirsty for God. That's the elect. That's the ones that's the children of God. But there's another group that when they see you, amen, listen, it's perceived differently by those who save and those who are perishing. Look at verse 16. To those who are perishing, who don't want God, we are a dreadful smell of death and of doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Understand that when you let your light shine, there's going to be some people who don't like it. And they don't like it, amen, because you look like God. You talk like God. You walk like God. And there's some, y'all, who really just don't want God. To those, amen, that's his children, to talk like God, walk like God, remind them of something they need in their life. But for this other group to talk like God, walk like God, amen, remind them of a judgment, a death, a doom that's coming quickly. Are you hearing me up in here? The Bible says we not only light, but we also salt. And truly, salt is a preservative, but salt is also a medicine. Anybody know the old home remedy for fever, blisters, or ulcers in your mouth? They would take tomato paste, but worse than that, they would take that salt and put that on that lip. When mama used to put that salt on that lip. Ay, 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 ooh, that salt would burn. Listen, your life when you're living for God, it burns the ungodly. It burns them. It hurts them to see you on that job. It hurts them to see you at that school. It hurts them to see you in the family. It burns. It burns. You see? But the thing is, that old salt mama used to put on that ulcer was the very thing to heal the cut. The very thing to help us stop the pain. But that's what the world don't see. Come on, give God some glory, amen. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. Listen, we got to be careful, y'all. We got to be careful to examine the reason why we like or dislike a person. You see, if I'm telling you that we can dislike people because they look like God, they talk like God, because they're trying to live for God, then we got to be careful. We got to be careful when we dislike somebody because we really got to examine our hearts. We got to say, do I not like them for real reasons, or do I not like them because they letting their light shine and I don't like the light? Listen to me good. You can't answer it too quickly either, because our hearts are deceitfully wicked, y'all. And the devil going to try to play us. Our hearts going to try to play us. Our hearts going to take something minute that somebody do and blow it up and expand it and amplify it. And we like, we don't like them because they knocked over my cake at the party. But the real reason is we don't like them because every time we see them, they remind us of what we supposed to be in God. Got to examine yourself. We got some in this church that don't like each other. And some of the ones I know about, listen, one of y'all living for God and the other one not really living for God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you don't like her or you don't like him because they outdoing you in Christ. They showing you what a man really supposed to be. They showing you what a woman of God really supposed to be. And you hate it. And you hate it. And you dislike them. But in your mind and your deceitful heart, you come back and you say, yeah, but she talked to me funny. And he said this and he said that. Man, that's baloney, man. That's baloney. That's baloney, man. You hate them because the light. You hate them just like Cain hated Abel. 1 John 3:12. Don't be like Cain, who was of the wicked one, who slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So tonight, listen. I know we got to get out of here. And there's more to talk about, but I'm going to stop right there. Because I think I've given you enough to think about tonight. Pastor, what should I think about? Be a Noah, man. Condemn the world, man. Do the right thing for God, man. Live for God. If you do that, guess what? People are going to get saved. And people are going to come to church. People are going to come to Christ. You say to yourself, man, why? All the people I invite to church not coming. Because you're not attractive to Christ. You're not making Christ attractive. You have nothing life-giving that you're showing. They're not going to follow you. But I'm not going to deceive you tonight. If you try to live for God, and we're going to get to it here next Tuesday, if you try to live for God, not everybody's going to be happy. The Bible says all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. And I'm going to get into that place where we begin to talk about how people going to treat you just because you're trying to do God. We're going to get into that. Because that's what Noah went through. You know? That's what Noah went through. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. God, we thank you for a real word. We thank you that real recognized real. We thank you that you want us to be different. That you want us to let our light shine. Father, help us not to live in the flesh. Help us to be unique. God, you know our areas of weakness. We all have them, whether it's anger, whether it's the sexual morality, whether it's you know what we need. Strengthen us to be the people our families need to see, our friends need to see. Save somebody through our lives. Help us make Christ attractive to a dying world. Father, when it's done, we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Pretty. You see him in here? All right. All right. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. We're going to go. I know I kept y'all late. I'm going to let y'all out early Sunday. I didn't say which Sunday. Somebody say, Lord, thank you for challenging me. I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried in a grave, and on the third day, you rose with all power and all might. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit and help me to walk in the spirit. Help me, Lord, to let my light shine. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. Bless you with shalom peace. May the minutes that you stayed here extra get you a blessing. Blessed are they that dwell in his house. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. May he bless you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.